The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Glenn Beck,
The Blaze Radio Network.
Eric Liu is a new friend. We started to get to know each other maybe 2 months ago. He came down from his hometown of Seattle, which is also my hometown. He is the CEO of Citizenship University. He teaches civics at the University of Washington. Just that is enough to say, I don't think we're going to have a lot in common. He was described by a mutual friend of ours, Matt Kibbe, as a progressive who wants to talk to the other side. And I sat down in my office with Eric and I said, this is going to be an interesting conversation. And you pretty much, if I remember correctly, started the conversation with, I'm not an early 20th century American progressive. Am I remembering that right? Did I hear that in my...
You asked if I was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so your answer was...
Well, my answer was, I'm a progressive in the sense simply that I believe that you can't just let things be. I think that a society, a community, a political system, an economy is like a garden. You know, when you leave things be for a while, things grow awesome. They're great, right? They grow like gangbusters. But after a certain point, noxious weeds take over. Mm-hmm. And they start to kill the whole thing. And after a little while of letting things go, the garden tips over and it dies.
Well, there's a difference between that and to use your garden. Let me take it to a farm. Theodore Roosevelt, so I'll take it out on the Republicans, talked about breeding of humans and compared it to breeding of cattle.
Yeah.
Because noxious weeds, people will marry and they're too stupid to know who to marry and who not to marry. I mean, there is a place to where the farmer or the rancher takes it too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there is a good wide open space between
yes.
that vision of, hey, we are citizen gardeners. We own responsibility for making sure that we tend, that we weed, that we see, that we feed, the plot between that and eugenics and, you know, that whole worldview.
This is right? just a personal thing for us, but would you mind using an analogy that isn't related to vegetables? we're not familiar.
You don't get what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we just don't understand.
He's a vegetarian and he still doesn't even understand them. He's like, he hates the fact that he's a vegetarian. You write that, why do most people think power is a dirty word? Because they think it means coercion and violence. They associate it with the worst in human nature. And if I can summarize a couple of things that you say, there are three laws of power. The first, power concentrates, that it feeds itself and it compounds, as does powerlessness. Second, power justifies itself. People invent stories to legitimize the power that they have. And third, power is infinite. There's no inherent limit to the amount of power people can create. Take me through those three points.
Yeah, these are pretty fundamental to any understanding, I think, of whether you're on the right or the left, how we live in this incredible age right now mm-hmm. of bottom-up citizen power. People all across the board are knocking over entrenched monopolies, knocking over entrenched systems of status quo. And so when you look at those three laws, number one, power concentrates. You know, when you have it, you tend to get more. When you don't have it, you tend to get less, right? And that plays out in economic terms, in terms of the rich get richer and so forth. But it's also political, right?
You see it honestly with the conservatives. Progressives have control of much of the media, and the conservatives struggle to have a toehold in that media, and we seem to get less and less.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think there is a way in which system... Well, okay, so that's number one, power concentrates.
Yes.
But what you're touching on is also law number two, power justifies itself, right? So power, people who tend to be in power, and from your perspective, that's progressives in the media, for other, in other times in American history. It's
well, let's
been,
take it in your field, I mean, in, yeah. in the university, you can't tell me that you think that progressives don't control the universities and manipulate and justify itself.
Well, I think progressives dominate.
Yeah.
The academy, progressives dominate the media, right?
Yeah.
But domination is one thing. It's justifying itself as telling these just so stories about why that ought to be so.
Correct.
Right? And so an example that I'll use more from the left is the classic case is trickle-down economics. To me, the idea that people who are already wealthy and already privileged telling you, you got to take good care of us, man. You got to coddle us and make sure you give us nice tax breaks because that's the only way any of my wealth is going to leak down to the rest of you, right? Economic theory tells you there's not actually a whole lot of truth to that, but it is a story. It is a way of justifying people having what they have, right? White supremacy has always been that kind of storyline, you know, that, hey, look, whites are better and more suited for governing and governing themselves and running the show than non-whites. So this just ought to be the way it is, right? You non-whites ought not to be kind of crowding into the public square. So if all you had were these two laws here, that power compounds and it justifies itself, you get into a pretty grim doom loop, right? You get into a situation, you get into a dictatorial authoritarian situation. The only thing that busts you out of that doom loop is law number three, which is that power is infinite and that people, wherever they are, even if they're outside those circles of concentrated power, can generate new countervailing power out of thin air simply by organizing. And, you know, I actually, on the road, have been completely consistent in saying Exhibit A is the Tea Party. The Tea Party, 2010, arrived without clout, without connections, without permission, without anybody saying, hey, go on and kind of lead a movement here to challenge the entrenched status quo in both parties. But these people remembered that they had infinite power and that if they simply began to organize with one another, which is simply asking one other human to join you in a common endeavor and say, you know what, let's make some plans here. Let's get on a common message. Let's do some things together, that they began fundamentally to change the game, right? And I think this age that we're in right now is one that connects the Tea Party with Occupy Wall Street, with $15 now, with Black Lives Matter. You may think, wow, all these people, I mean, I don't agree with all these people, but the reality is all of them are remembering that in this bottom-up way, citizens can exercise far more clout and muscle than most of the time we remember we have.
So this is, and I know this audience is feeling it, and I say this in the spirit of just defining where we are, okay? Mm-hmm. As I'm listening to you and I heard about, trickle-down economics, I wanted immediately to stop and battle you on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's several things that you said that I immediately wanted to say, no.
That's okay.
But it's okay. Yeah, yeah. It's okay. But that's where we get lost because we don't listen. We don't let the other person finish.
Yeah.
And so we're not listening to each other. But let me, instead of battling on those things, let me take you here on that. I agree with your three points. And I agree with you on the last point. And I'm sorry, I have to say it. But not only power is infinite, with power comes money, too. Mm. Money is infinite. So we spend so much time telling people, sit down, shut up, to protect your own power, okay? You can't do it because that guy's in your way. You can't make money because that guy has it all. Money and power, they're usually put together, and they are infinite, as we see in Silicon Valley. You can dream, you can do. It's the idea of America. Here's the thing that I want to get to on this power. there are progressives on both sides of the aisle. There are progressives that are Republicans, progressives that are Democrats. And the original idea was either fascism in the early 20th century. They thought fascism and communism was neat. So the early guys were, who's going to control the cows? Who's going to be the rancher on the cows? Who's going to tell these dummies that don't get it how to live their life? We'll protect them and we'll have the power. And so there's fascists and there's communists, if you will. Both of them end the same way in authoritarianism. How do we get to a point to where the people who are truly constitutionalists, this is what makes us different. What the progressives started in the early 20th century is just to bring us back to the European model. Look at what's happening in France. Communism or fascism? 40% is voting for fascism or communism. That's craziness. How do we get to the point to where we can say, I want you to have the power that you want. I want you to have all the success that you want. But I don't want you telling me what success I can have or what I have to believe or what line I have to toe. I don't want control of your life. I want 330 million experiments happening that will pop up and I'll go, my gosh, look at that life. I'd like to pattern my life after that. Instead of somebody trying to cookie cutter us all. And I think that's what a lot of people on the left are feeling, especially youth. They're seeing that current running through the right that says, I want a strong man. And they miss the strong man on the left. So how do reasonable people come together in the middle that are saying, Eric, I love you and I respect you and I don't have a problem. Don't control my life. I won't control your life.
So I want to start with appreciating what you said at the outset, which was there were three or four moments when I was speaking earlier where you just wanted to hop up and say no, right? I think that's huge. I don't want to just kind of skip past that. I think it's really worth naming that. And I'm sure many of your listeners are like, no.
A couple other people in the room.
So, I think that ability to hear that inside yourself, to kind of sit with that and say, hold on, let's let this play out.
And not stew on it. Like, okay, I got to wait until he stops. I got to remember this. Just... because that's I couldn't hard. Remember. That's I couldn't hard. Remember really what I wanted to. I know there were three or four things that I thought of that I wanted to say no, but it's stop yourself and let it go and engage, listen to the other side. That's really hard.
That verb right there, man, you know, I think politics, especially in D.C., is filled with what I call debaters listening.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're just listening in as much as you need to get the quick gist of what the guy's saying. And then your wheels are spinning. How am I going to pound him back? How am I going to destroy what he just said? Right. And what I'm talking about is basically citizens listening.
Yes.
Like a human's actual full body listening. Right. And checking yourself and saying, OK, before I react, I know my talking points that I'm going to kind of wheel out here. Right. And the same thing just happened for me. Right. You were describing this vision.
I can see it.
Of what you're articulating, you're describing progressivism as top-down, cookie-cutter, controlling either fascist or communist, the state solves everything or tries to solve everything for people.
And right? The reason why you're here is because I don't believe you believe that.
I don't believe that, right? And I don't believe, I don't accept that definition in the first place.
But do you believe there are those that do believe that?
I do.
Okay.
And I think we're here because, precisely as you say, because there is a space between that caricature and the caricature that I could throw out, that all libertarians are just complete individualistic kind of, sociopathic, selfish people who just want to go their own way. Like,
correct.
That would be equally wrong and stupid,
correct.
Right?
Correct. We've made the media and sound bites, and we are reflecting it in our own conversation. If we can't judge each other in one sound bite,
then we don't engage. I mean, we get lost. And those sound bites make us into cartoon characters.
Yeah.
And we're not those cartoon characters. I have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have more conversation. And Eric's also going to be joining me on The Blaze as well for an update. Just watch The Blaze, 5 o'clock on theblazetv.com. He's a progressive, but a reasonable progressive. I try to consider myself a reasonable constitutionalist. And we've had several discussions, and we like each other and strangely trust each other. At least I trust you. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you're trying to control me, and I'm not trying to control anybody else's life. People need to hear from the left. Now, I'm just talking to my audience mm-hmm. here. People need to hear from the left what the left has heard from me. Sorry, didn't see it. Didn't see some of the things I was saying turned out not to be right, not to be true. Some of the things I claimed about the people I was around, not true. Shock. Okay, sorry. When it comes to things like Berkeley, the Antifa movement is extraordinarily dangerous. It is a coordinated group of anarchists. It's not the average American saying, "Hey, let's have reasonable talk." How do we get people on the left to speak to the people on the right and say, "Hey, I'm not part of that"?
Yeah,
because that's important.
I think you're actually seeing a fair amount of that right now. On the left and the center left, people saying the answer to Milo or Ann Coulter is not shutting it down. The answer, quite frankly, is let them talk and pay them no attention if you don't like what they have to say, right? Shutting them down only feeds the beast and only feeds the attention. And again, from a citizen standpoint, you're giving your power to them, right? The more you try to shut them down.
But it's not just trying to shut them down. There's another part of that movement. The Antifa movement is a global movement of revolutionary communist radicals. You know, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, the edges of those of the support there, the far edges, and I don't think it's more than 10% on either side. They wanted to burn the whole thing down and start over. We shouldn't have anything to do with any of those people. I don't want to burn the whole system. I want to fix the system. This Constitution is great. We just haven't looked at it for a long, long time.
You know, you think about the Trump phenomenon, I liken it to a virus. A virus is something, you know, the body telling you, "Hey, I'm sick," right? Mm-hmm. And the body politic is sick. You know, people who want to burn it down, people who want to tear it all down, they need to be listened to, because we are in a situation where the game is increasingly rigged, right?
Back in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The internet has become an inseparable part of our society, especially when it comes to our kids. In fact, children typically spend twice as much time online as the parents think they do. I know this is true. Unfortunately, many of our kids will also admit that they have been exposed to disturbing online content. It's important to have an effective safeguard in place that can protect your kids as they grow up in this high-tech environment. Hero Parental Control. Hero is specifically created with you in mind, the parent. Hero safeguards each of your devices, custom filters tailored for individual family members. GPS locators help you keep up with your kids' whereabouts, can alert you when they venture out of bounds. You can also block access to unapproved apps that limit their screen time every day. Hero will give you the peace of mind knowing that your family is sheltered from the worst of the web. Block the bad, choose what's good. Start your free 14-day trial at blazehero.com now.